All right, welcome to the 716 Rocks Podcast. My name is Nate Trone, Patron.
Patron, what up? It's Grizzle.
Grizz, good to have you back, man. How you feeling?
Good. Good to be back, baby. Let's
do
this.
Yeah, dude,
you're
out of it for a little bit. All right, man, let's do it. Hey, who do we got behind the glass?
The Bills.
We got Red Beards. All right, guys, if you're a musician, local podcast, and you need some production work done, make sure you hit up Red Beards. Dude, where can they find you, man?
BuffaloMusicArt.com.
He's doing a lot of great stuff for the community in the area, so make sure you guys hit him up. Grizz, let's jump into it, man. Ah, dude, 24-17 loss to the Broncos.
Looks pretty respectable when you look at it.
Pretty close game, huh?
Only a 7-point loss to one of the best teams in the league.
That was probably the worst, like the most lopsided loss for that close of a margin of score.
Exactly. I mean, really, if some innocent bystanders reading the newspaper this morning, like, wow.
Oh, the Bills.
Wow, pretty respectable. Seven points.
Very good up-and-coming team.
Honestly, the way that the game went, dude, I mean, I feel more like we lost by about 15, 20 points, maybe.
I mean, I wasn't confident going into the game, but watching the game, there was not once that I felt like, oh, the Bills might actually pull this off. The Denver Broncos were in control of that game from start to finish. You know, essentially, Grizz, it was going to take a perfect game. The D-line was going to have to get pressure on Peyton Manning. They're going to have to get hurry-ups, knockdowns. They're going to have to get in his face.
They got
Zero sacks.
Nada.
How many hurry-ups?
Nope.
Knockdowns?
Nada.
Maybe they whispered in his ear?
Nope.
Didn't do it.
Nada.
Nothing. Orton's got to have a great game. He threw for 355 yards.
Whoa.
Is that a career record?
Woo.
I don't know. Is he on fire?
Wait. How many attempts was that on?
57. That's a lot.
For two games?
That's one.
Oh, just one game.
One game.
No, I guess not.
Hey, you throw 57 times, you probably threw a lot of touchdowns.
4, 6, 9 touchdowns.
You probably
maybe
broke the record.
Probably.
Roethlisberger status, 6 TDs.
Nope.
How many?
Nada. Just one.
One. Uno. Maybe he threw two really bad picks too. So Orton had a terrible game. Key matchups, pretty much. The Bills had to dominate in every category to have a chance to beat the Broncos. They didn't.
Listen. Let me ask you this. If you're Peyton Manning, just imagine for one day you get to be number 18, calling out Omaha, Omaha.
Omaha!
If you're Peyton Manning this past week and you're watching Bills game film, what do you walk away with? You know, what's going through his mind? What's he thinking while he's watching the film during the week? If he was to sum up the Buffalo Bills in one short statement, what do you think would be going through his mind?
Undisciplined.
Ouch. That about says it right there. I do think you look at the way that the game went and the game plan that he only threw 20 times. So it's a lot of running. And even on the throws, he's getting rid of the ball so quick. I do think Peyton probably watched the game film and say, you know what? They do have a great D-line.
Yeah.
I've got to get rid of the ball quick, and I can't really risk my life throwing the ball too many times.
Absolutely. You look at the D-line. I mean, it's arguably one of the top three D-lines in the entire NFL. I mean, you look at this game, it's essentially Peyton Manning versus the front four of the D-line for the Buffalo Bills. So
I don't think there's probably any secondary guys that Peyton walks away feeling like, wow, I really don't want to throw this guy's way, right?
Yeah, you know, Corey Graham, probably not.
Stephon Gilmore. They're decent. Don't get me wrong. They're decent.
Yeah, they're not.
But I don't think Peyton's like, I can't go to this side or that side. I just think mainly his main concern is it's the D-line.
He got rid of the ball quickly. He only threw it 20 times. Hey, it's the first time in 2010. That he doesn't throw for a touchdown, and he throws two picks. If you see that stat line, what are you thinking, Grizzle?
I'm thinking we have a pretty good shot at walking away with a W.
Absolutely.
Here's my other thing. If you're Peyton, yeah, you respect the D-line, but you know the way that this guy analyzes the game, he's going to be walking away with who do I want to pick on. So here's my question to the listeners. Actually, to you, since you're probably the only person that's going to answer my question.
I'm listening. We got McColt here. What's up, dude?
What up, what up?
Hey, glad
this
you
dude,
can join
this
us.
Dude is a Peyton Manning aficionado. Last week, in fact, he actually bought a Gatorade solely for the fact, not because he was thirsty, not because he had just worked out,
took a job,
not because he was dehydrated. This man bought a Gatorade just because it had Peyton Manning's picture on it. That's how much he loves Peyton Manning.
It's a little awkward. How many jerseys do you have of Peyton?
Just one.
No, I swear I've seen like
Colts.
A Pro Bowl jersey,
nope,
Colts jersey.
Just a Colts jersey, number 18.
All right, it's huh. still so awkward. Your obsession is still slightly...
Anyways, inoculated. Here's my question. Back to my question. Who does he want to pick on? He breaks the game film down. Who is Peyton saying, I can go at this guy. I can just puppet on a string, make this guy dance.
Dance. I am intrigued by your thought process here. I can think of a couple things that I would do. I would try to get Jerry Hughes offsides
okay.
a couple times. Try to get him to jump the snap count.
There's an idea. Did it happen? Yep. Yep, it did. And I'm pretty sure that's the reason why the Bills, particularly the defensive line coach, apparently decided to sit Jerry Hughes for about half of the football game because he jumped offsides.
Well, he did, yeah. He was on disciplined football. He got the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and that was a big problem.
So there, Peyton, he has a little victory. He gets, I don't know if he worked out an agreement. Hey, if I get this guy to make a stupid play or jump off sides, will you sit him for half the football game? Maybe that's what happened with the coaching staff.
How about the
know.
Contain? How about the contain on the run? Manny Lawson, would you look at that on the game film? We've talked a lot about containing the edge.
That's, I think, exactly, precisely. That's the second thing Manning walks away with. He says, you know what? This guy Lawson, I see him in the Kansas City game. I see him not contain on two plays that went for two touchdowns that cost the Bills a key win midseason. And he's also responsible for several other lack of contains in previous games as well.
Cut him. Cut him loose.
I mean, the dude's got speed,
but he's good.
He's got speed, but these are the things that Manning is just nitpicking away at, I guarantee, during the weekend, saying, you know what, here's where I can capitalize, and sure enough, that's what he did.
And absolutely, I mean, you look at how quick he gets rid of the ball, Grizzle. I mean, even on the deep throws, he's taking like a three-step drop on a deep throw. Who does that? He's just lofting up there with the perfect arc. He's getting rid of it so quick, 2 seconds, bam. That ball is out of there. He didn't even give that D-line a chance.
So the D-line, basically, they don't have any stats to really talk about for the game.
And the truth is, I don't know. Okay, they have no stats. I don't know if they necessarily even had a bad game. I mean, it wasn't great.
Let's talk about this. Some of the stats that aren't on the stat sheet, some that are, but originating from Papa Orton.
Oh, Papa O, man. He might have had a late night partying.
What are you doing
Mile
to me, man?
High Stadium, baby.
I mean,
baby.
First couple games that he played and we were so excited. You had the Bills Mafia feeling like, man, this could be our year.
And the drought, Papa O, taking it home. The savior, the journeyman, finally found his home on his fifth NFL team.
Where did it go? What was he doing yesterday?
Oh, I'll tell you what he was doing. He was sliding short of the first down because he was afraid to get hit. You're in the NFL. You're a professional athlete. I know you've never lifted a weight in your life. I know that you're chewing tobacco during the games. I know that you can't wait to get a fifth of Jack in you and light up a stogie after the
man.
Game. But, dude, you are sliding on third and one in the red zone, Grizz.
Let me ask you this. Last night during a game, how many sacks did the other team have? How many sacks did your Denver Broncos have against Orton?
Four.
You know, it's hard to really say. I mean, the stat sheet, it says three. But here's my question. Is, actually, the stat sheet does say four. We've got two half sacks for a total of four. So you are right on that.
I just flashed him the four symbol.
I did my research. Listen, here's where it gets confusing and a little bit ambiguous. Out of those four sacks, how many did the Broncos actually have, though? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So, here. Like, how many sacks was Orton actually not touched right. on the play by a Denver Broncos
What was he
player?
Doing?
Dude, he was afraid to get hit. He's on, like, his own 16-yard line.
What was that? That one play, he literally, there was no one even touching him yet. A couple yards away, he's turning around.
He turned his back to the line of scrimmage, and he literally sat down.
I don't get it. There's not even a stat
for
that.
What is wrong with him? McColl, what is Orton doing?
He's soft. I don't know.
He's soft.
I mean, especially you look at Aaron Rodgers tonight, you know, running in and take a hit. Orton just doesn't do it. I don't know why.
I got Tom Brady last night scrambling for first downs. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what, though. Von Miller, he got that nice little early Christmas gift when Orton sat down, and apparently Miller got credited with the sack.
Free
so,
sack, baby.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Free sack. Yeah, you know, and I just touch on it briefly. He throws two picks. Dude, I'll tell you, it's first and 10 on Denver's 19. And look, just some of the throws that Orton decided to throw.
Dude, both interceptions. Do you know who was open?
I'm gonna guess probably, supposedly, our best playmaker on the offense.
Answer me. How do you throw, like, to Woods double coverage and Watkins is either in a matchup that's just one-on-one, which is favorable, obviously, or on that throw to Woods in the double coverage? Who's streaking across the middle of the field with no Dude. One on him, a defender 2 yards behind him?
And he's on the 10-yard line with, like, linebackers sitting on the goal line.
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, my gosh.
Why did we waste a first-round draft pick on Sammy Watkins if we're not going to throw him the ball?
I don't know.
How do you stay so calm?
Let's talk about the play calling for a minute, Grizz. We just got to move on with this topic because things are getting a little crazy here. I'll tell you what. You got first quarter, 6 minutes. It's 3rd and 11. You throw a swing pass to Freddie Jackson.
Look, like the third one they ran. It's the third time. 10 minutes into the game.
It's only the first quarter.
Do you have 3 plays in your playbook? This is the, let's go back to the swing pass.
Oh, very creative.
Oh, we haven't run that in 4 plays. Let's go back to the swing pass.
So now you find yourself in situations 4th and 6.
Hey, they're going for it.
Hey,
it's 4th and 6. The Bills are going for it.
I'm okay with that. You're on Denver's 37-yard line. So let's do this. Let's throw. What are we going to do, Grizz?
Hit our big man.
Hell, let's throw it up in the air.
The big target.
But wait a second. The sun is setting in Denver at Mile High Stadium. Not in a figurative sense. I'm not trying to be poetic. I'm actually being literal. The sun was literally setting in Denver.
Who cares? Why do you care?
Because you got shade in half the stadium. You got bright sunshine in the other half. And you got Chandler running down the sun side of the stadium, staring into the bright shining light with the ball coming at him, squinting. I don't think he saw the ball. Flip the play. Get him running in the shade.
Take the PlayStation controller. Hit the L2 button.
Hit the L2.
And switch it up.
Flip it.
I don't understand. How do you not take that into consideration? I guarantee you Chandler drops that ball and doesn't make a good play on it because he's staring into the big yellow ball known as the sun. Sun!
Chris, hey, man. Hey, it's the first quarter. We just went for it on 4th and 6.
These stupid play calls. I can't live with it!
Hey, but here's the silver lining, Grizzle. Fast forward to the fourth quarter.
We're down
2 possessions with only 5.5 minutes left in the game. It's 4th and 2.
There's a chance.
Because in the first quarter, we went for it on 4th and 6. So on 4th and 2, I don't care that we're deep in the end zone. What do you think we're going to do?
We got to go for it, right?
We got to
go
for it. 5 minutes
left in the game, 4th and 2. We got
to
go.
Probably shouldn't. Punt it to the best offense in the NFL because we're down by 2 possessions with 5.5 minutes left, and we only need 2 yards. Orton's probably not going to scramble or fall forward for it.
Why punt? How much time did we waste punting? A couple minutes, right? minute and a half. Deuce. But listen, when there's 5 minutes left in the game, it's an eternity, and you just wasted an eternity. Idiotic.
All right. They punt it. They finally get the ball back. It's first and goal. We got 4 tries to get in the end zone. Hey, we did get into
the
end zone.
Can you just throw the ball to your targets? Sammy Watkins, Scott Chandler. You're first and goal. You need a touchdown quick so we can recover an onside kick. Throw it to Chandler. Throw it to Watkins. No, let's throw it to Goodwin. No, second down, let's throw it to Freddie Jackson. Third down, let's throw it to Chandler. Oh, but wait. Orton's so tired from throwing to meaningless receivers that he throws it in the dirt.
He's tired from throwing it to Freddie Jackson for 10 completions equaling 37 yards.
Stupid little dump passes. I'm sick of it.
So he throws a swing pass on fourth down to Hogan in the end zone. No, a swing pass where he has to get lucky with Sammy Watkins knocking down 2 defenders so our token white receiver can score a touchdown.
You know the worst thing about that is the play worked. And I guarantee you the coaching staff's probably like, oh, that was great. That was a great play call.
We'll score again next time.
No, you idiots. You got lucky.
You got lucky. You don't throw the swing pass on fourth in like 15 to Hogan because he's a possession receiver. He ain't getting you yak.
Listen, do the Bills have a chance at making the playoffs?
Statistically, yes.
But these are the things that even though statistically you have a chance to make the playoffs, this is years. I'm dying here. I'm dying. You got a chance to still make the playoffs. But with these kinds of plays, this kind of execution, these kind of play calls, it's not going to happen. You're killing me.
Hey, we picked off Peyton Manning twice.
Oh my gosh. 2 interceptions and returns of huge amounts. I'm talking Fusillo huge.
Ja.
That get called back because of stupid mental errors by other players not returning.
Oh, blah, 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 blah. This is where we've gotten, folks. We have gotten to the point where we are trying to ride the deep. We now expect the defense to advance the ball 60 yards for us. This is bad. This is pathetic. We're upset because Kyle Williams, a defensive tackle, got called for holding on a 60-yard run back. And Corey Graham.
You're not upset about it?
I'm just like, this is the state that we're in. This is bad, Grizzle. We're upset at Kyle Williams, Pro Bowl defensive tackle for holding.
I am upset.
He picked the ball off.
Are you not upset?
I don't know what I'm feeling. I've got a lot of emotions. I've got the gamut of emotions running through my veins right now. It's a chemical explosion of emotion.
Here's the problem. You know what? Listen, I respect you, Patron, Natron, whatever your name is.
Tron Don.
With all due respect.
Because I got it going on.
With all due respect, you're wrong. Wrong. Listen, that return by Graham put him at the Denver 20.
That was great field position.
Denver 20. And listen, I understand it's one play. I understand they intercept the football. But here's my problem. It's mediocrity. It's saying, you know what? Oh, it's good enough to intercept the football. No! Have the mental discipline to do your job, every single player on the field, so that a 60-yard return will hold and will have the ball at the Denver 20-yard line instead of having it dragged back to the Buffalo 40.
Grizzle, the truth is we're debating about a play that, yes, the Bills ended up punting on that series, but look, if Williams doesn't hold and Gilmore, now Graham gets it down to the Denver 20, we're not scoring a touchdown. We're talking about the difference of 3 points here. You know, I know, McColt knows, Redbeards, that's carpenter time. That's a field goal. Who cares?
Okay, there's a second interception in the game by Gilmore. Again, with a return, huge 48 yards to the Denver 38. But nope, let's bring it back to the Buffalo 26.
But what do the Bills do? Orton throws it in there, an interception on a play. I mean, and when I, hey, if I'm a defensive player for the Bills, at this point, I'm like, who cares? You know what? Jerry Hughes got set the second half. You got to be kidding me. Jerry Hughes scored a touchdown for you. If I'm a Roan, I'm thinking, Hughes, I don't care. Offsides, unsportsmanlike conduct. Get out there and Hughes, score me a touchdown because that's the only opportunity I have to get within striking distance. Because we intercept the ball, we give it back to Orton, we end up punting it, we end up throwing an interception. It's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
So I don't care that Kyle Williams was called for holding.
Listen, do you invest your money?
I've got a 401k.
Okay, hypothetically, right? Let's say you invest your
money. Wait, I wasn't done.
You know, I don't care.
I have a Roth IRA.
Hypothetically, let's say you invest your money, and you got, you know, your stock man in the back corner taking care of making investments, et cetera, et cetera. Are you going to be happy if 95% of the time he's working for you, but 5% of the time he say, I don't care about Patron's money. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing.
Don't touch my head.
How do you feel about that?
I'm upset. I'm angry.
So you're telling me that when it comes to the game of football, our Buffalo Bills, it's okay if we go 95%.
What do you want, 110?
It's okay if we 120? Intercept the ball and it gets called back 60 yards on the nice return. Because you know what? That 95% of the play on that nice interception, it's good enough. I don't think so! It's about 100%. The Bills ain't making the playoffs unless dudes say 100% and that's it. 100% physical, 100% mental. End of story.
All right, man. There you have it. Grizzle laid it out there. I love the passion. I love your conviction. You inspire me, Grizzle. All right. You know what? The Bills, they need to win out. They need to win out. Maybe we beat Green Bay at home. Hopefully, we don't lose to the Raiders in Oakland because they just beat San Fran, who's possibly better than the Bills. New England might be relevant. New England might be relevant. The last game of the season might be relevant for the first time in a long time.
All I'm saying is we've established here tonight that for the Bills to win out, something or some things are in desperate need of change, because the play that was displayed yesterday was pathetic. Inadequate, insufficient, and even though it was a 7-point difference, it's poppycock.
What?
Poppycock. It's meaningless. 7 points? I don't think so.
Hey,
that was not a 7-point game. The Bills need to take care of business, tie up loose ends, stop making mental mistakes, and get the job done.
Get it done. Poppycock. Word of the day. Where's Pee Wee Herman? Poppycock. Real quick, Jeff Tool. Where is he?
Jeff Tool?
Hey, man. Do you remember last year, like, people were calling for Jeff Tool? That's funny. That's laughable. I just had to say Jeff Tool.
That is funny.
All right, there you have it. So the Bills lose by 7 points in Denver, but the truth is they got lambasted. I'm a big Bills fan. It might not show on this podcast. Grizzle, do you love the – who's your team?
Oh, man, I love the Bills.
Who's your team?
You're killing me right now. You're killing me. You're killing me.
I mean,
you're killing me.
I'm taking antacids throughout the week.
It's like that dog at the house, man. You love that dog. It's man's best friend, but I'm telling you, the dog just went nuts on the house, destroyed the house, took a dump over in the corner.
He's eating it now on the sofa.
And now you got to clean it up. You still love the dog.
I love him.
But you're really upset with the dog.
I'm upset.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. You heard it first on the 716 Rocks podcast. Grizzle says it's all poppycock. And he's very upset at the dog. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.